9:30 and then stepped up to Courtroom 1 to handle a circuit court matter.
That's fine. We understood you were in the building, and I didn't want to make you come straight up to the podium the moment you walked in the door, too.
I do appreciate that, Donna.
So we're glad to have you. As you know, you have 15 minutes to argue. Both sides have 15 minutes. What portion would you like to reserve for rebuttal?
I just think 5 minutes, Your Honor.
All right. You have it, and you may proceed when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, this is a matter of Commonwealth v. Epps. Comes to the court on defense petition that's been granted, specifically on the issue of whether or not Mr. Epps was guilty of obstruction of justice the date that he ran from Officer Ring here in the city of Chesapeake. Your Honor, it's our contention that his act of flight did not constitute an act of force necessary underneath the code in order to prevent Officer Ring from performing his duties.
The argument that as he was fleeing just before the officer brought out his taser, that he had sort of turned in an aggressive manner to sort of, I think they use the term, square up against the officer.
I understand that's the way the officer described it, and I know that the video is in record, and I don't know if Your Honors have had the opportunity to review it. I know it's in the record because I was trial counsel on this, and I had a lengthy opportunity to view the video prior to trial. And Your Honor, while Officer Ring did describe it as a squaring off, I know from having seen the video that it was a matter of seconds in conjunction with his command to stop that Mr. Epps did stop and turn, and then after Officer Ring drew his, he actually drew simultaneously, drew his taser along with the instructions to halt or stop. Those two actions happened simultaneously after Officer Ring had run about a block, exited his vehicle, ran a block. He had not given any verbal commands at that point to Mr. Epps until he was within a very short distance of him. So after hearing verbal command to stop, yes, Mr. Epps did stop, glanced briefly in the direction of Officer Ring, and then complied with his instructions, got down, face down on the ground. Officer Ring did not need to deploy his taser. By the time Officer Ring had issued the command to stop, a matter of seconds from the time he'd issued the command to when Mr. Epps willingly complied, lay down on the ground, and allowed himself to be taken into custody.
Counsel, do you allege that's the first command verbal command that the officer made to stop to your client?
I'm sorry, what?
Was it the first time the officer said stop to the that he actually did stop?
Officer Ring repeated it three times within a period of about 4 seconds. So I don't know if it took Mr. Epps a second or two to respond, but it was in a very short period of time. And again, simultaneously with the first command, Officer Ring is pulling out of his taser. He didn't have it out as he was running.
See, well, can you distinguish this case from the Molinette case, which this court issued, I guess, in 2015?
Well, the difference between this case and the Molinette case, Your Honor, is that in Molinet, the defendant, Mr. Molinet, he had on multiple occasions been told to step back from the scene, and then after having been instructed to step back, left, and then came back and approached where the officer was trying to keep a contained, keep the crowd under control, keep the scene under control, and keep a safe environment for the other officers doing their investigation. Molinet repeatedly approached the officer, angry, threatening, cursing, very aggressive towards the officers. That's very different from the situation that we have with Mr. Epps, who a long distance away from Officer Ring turned and walked in the opposite direction. Officer Ring exited his vehicle, ran a block, and then issued verbal commands to stop. In Molinet, again, he repeatedly ignored the officer's commands to step back and do something and actually repeated the action that he had been told not to do, two or three different times before actually being taken into custody. And at that point, pulling that officer away from his assigned duty of crowd control and keeping everybody back because he needed to focus specifically on Mr. Molyneux. Here, Officer Ring's only duty was to apprehend a potential suspect who was in the area. He identified Mr. Epps and sought to follow him. So a few seconds, the extra effort required to pull his taser, he was not prevented from performing his duties.
Molyneux steps back toward the officer, kind of puffs his chest out as he's cursing the officer. Right?
Correct.
Here, what I've looked at the video, mm-hmm. and he does seem to, you have to put it in slow motion.
Yes, you do. Almost frame by frame.
Right. And of course, you know, it's on the officer's body cam, so at first, if you don't do that, it's jarring,
you
so
can't
jarring
see a
it's
thing.
Hard to see. But
yes.
So you say he does turn back toward the officer after he has the order to stop, or about the same time, or where?
I think it's after, mm-hmm. Your Honor. Mm-hmm. It has been about 2 years since I've seen the video because my copy was entered into evidence, so it has been quite some time since I've seen it. But my best recollection, mm-hmm. Your Honor, is that it happened fairly contemporaneously, very shortly after the commands to stop. I think there were two very quick in succession, stop, stop, and then about 2 seconds later, another stop.
Mm-hmm. This is after Mr. Epps sort of appears from either behind that car that's backing
out. I think it was across street. He was kind of coming out from between two
houses.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He came out from there, Officer Ring exited his vehicle, ran the majority of that block, and got very close to him. And you can hear the whole time that there are no verbal commands at that point while Officer Ring is running. It's up until he gets very close to Mr. Epps, then stops and pulls his taser, that he is then giving the verbal commands to stop. And I think that's the major difference between Molyneux. That and the fact that while Epps turned slightly in Officer Ring's direction, he wasn't making any verbal threats the way that Molyneux was. Molyneux was loud, he was cursing, and being generally disruptive to a situation where the officer's duty at that point is to keep everything calm and maintain a safe area. And, Your Honor, I think it's also distinguishable from the Thorne case, where in that case, the defendant, Ms. Thorne, she didn't necessarily use any overt threat towards the officer, but she refused to comply with his lawful commands multiple occasions, even after having been warned that she would be charged with obstruction of justice if she didn't comply with his instruction to lower the window down a little bit more to put the window tint meter on. That encounter took, I believe, close to 8 minutes. And again, case I'm very familiar with because it was another attorney from my office who had that trial and had that appeal. So that whole encounter there took 8 minutes versus maybe 8 seconds that's involved with Officer Ring and Mr. Epps. So really, Your Honor, this is a matter of flight. And there's well-established case law that in Virginia that flight alone does not constitute obstruction. And in the Attorney General's brief, they cited to a footnote from the Atkins case. I looked it up, some foreign jurisdictions, citing to Thomas v. State. It's a Georgia Court of Appeals, 2004, where in that case, they had said that it might be dispositive, and they didn't reach the issue. This court didn't reach the issue of whether or not ignoring a command to stop would be dispositive or not, because in Atkins, no one had given a command to the defendant to stop. But specifically with the Thomas v. State case, Your Honor, it's 606 Southeastern 2nd, 275. The facts in that case were very different from the facts in Epps. That was a lengthy foot pursuit where the fleeing suspect was carrying a gun at the time, jumped over several different fences, multiple individuals, multiple commands to stop. at some point there was actually a shot discharged by Thomas. He was initially found guilty of aggravated assault. That charge was later dismissed because the officer wasn't sure if it was an accidental discharge or actually directed at the officer. But certainly a very different situation from the encounter between Mr. Epps and Officer Rain. So, Your Honor, this is a simple flight case. No force or threat directed towards Officer Ring. Nothing to take this out of the realm of your typical running away from an officer, certainly making Officer Ring's job maybe slightly more difficult because he didn't, when he saw the officer, he didn't turn towards the officer and walk his direction. He walked in the opposite direction. But once Officer Ring issued verbal commands to stop, he stops voluntarily without Officer Ring needing to direct any further force in his direction, lays down on the ground, complies with being placed into handcuffs, and within seconds, he is detained. So for those reasons, Your Honor, we're asking that you reverse and dismiss Mr. Epps' conviction for obstruction of justice.
Thank you, Ms. Wentworth. You have your rebuttal time.
Thank you.
Good morning, Ms. Forster.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Stephen Forster on behalf of the Commonwealth. While I appreciate the defendant or the appellant's argument that this is merely a case of flight, that's not what the record supports in this particular case. And on review, we don't retry the facts. We look for the record, in the record, to determine whether or not there are facts to support the trial court's ruling. And in this particular case, I would point the Court to pages 72 and 73 of the joint appendix. And here we're looking at Officer Ring's testimony, and that was found to be credible by the trial court, whereas the appellant's trial testimony was found to be not credible. And Officer Ring testifies he stopped in his marked police vehicle, observing Mr. Epps. He immediately exited the vehicle, shouted for Mr. Epps to stop. Mr. Epps immediately took flight. He exited the vehicle and began chasing Mr. Epps, giving repeated verbal commands to stop. He indicates it was several times, as I quote from the record, the top of page 73. As he's continuing to run and give these verbal commands, as you discussed earlier in the video, it appears that Mr. Epps tried to go between two houses where he ran into a fence, and then he tries to come out to continue running down the street where Mr. Ring is pursuing him. At the particular point in the video, which is very pixelated and is extremely hard to tell what exactly occurred at that moment, Mr. Epps does appear to turn and face Officer Ring, at which point there is a simultaneous command to stop. You can see the taser is being drawn, and soon thereafter, I would say within seconds, you see Clarence Epps is on the ground, the defendant. Now, what we have is the testimony of Officer Ring. He says when Clarence Epps turned towards him, he, quote, squared his shoulders. He got in an aggressive stance, and he later clarified on 81 that it was a fight-like stance. And I believe it's on either 8, I believe in the record 81, he said it caused me some concern. So when we look at these other cases in terms of whether or not there is an act, against the officer obstructing whatever his duty, it is very similar to the Molyneux case. It is very similar to Thorne. It is very similar to the recent case that was just unpublished case by this court in Fripp Hayes versus Commonwealth. The officer is in Molyneux. The officer is charged with the duty of maintaining the sphere of control. The defendant comes up and he inserts himself into this investigation. Like the officer Ring, who gave multiple commands to stop, the officer in Molyneux says, step back, repeated commands which are not complied with.
Well, he does step back some in Molyneux, but he doesn't step back to the curb where the officer tells him to step back.
Yes, it appears it's a game of chicken. Step back, I'm going to take one step.
Steps forward toward the officer with his chest puffed up, the officer says, and cursing the officer and saying that he wants to talk to those women who are being interrogated by the female officer. Isn't that very different than what we have here?
I would agree, Your Honor, that there are more facts that have been fleshed out, but I would agree, I would disagree to the extent that it is extremely different. In that particular case, the officer was much clarified in many different ways, which we don't have on the record here, in terms of he puffed his chest, his arms were slightly raised, he was cursing. But again, going back to the standard of review, we're looking whether or not there's evidence in the record to support this conviction. And based on the record, there is. There's ample testimony from Officer Ring that there was a similar interaction between the appellant and himself. He turns, he squares his shoulders, he's in an aggressive fight-like stance. And I go back to that language because...
It certainly says that. And I've looked at that video over and over, and I cannot see it. And I see a slight turn, perhaps, and then he goes to the ground. But it's hard to see.
And I would agree, Your Honor. The video is extremely pixelated. As you stated earlier, the officer's running, so it's going left to right, left to right. And you really, you know, the defendant's in the frame, then he's out of the frame. He's in the frame, he's out of the frame. He's wearing, you know, I think it's dark-colored jeans with a dark-colored jacket, which really blend in with the pixelated picture with the shrubbery around the house. So it really becomes hard to definitively determine in that video what exactly transpired between Officer Ring and the appellant. However, we have a record, which is what we're looking to determine what happened. And although the appellant has a very different story about what took place, the trial court found that to be not credible whatsoever and did find Officer Ring's testimony to be very credible. And when we go to the record, I would say that the trial court also had the benefit. It considered the video. It played the videotape, and that's at Joint Appendix 97. So the trial court, again, took into consideration Officer Ring's testimony, considered the video, and found that it was sufficient to convict him of obstruction of justice. And again, we're going back to that standard of review again, and that we're looking for evidence to support it. And there's ample evidence in the record, again, through Officer Ring's testimony, supporting the fact that there was this, you know, aggressive interaction that caused him some concern, which caused him to deploy his taser. And I am unaware of any case law that identifies a certain period of duration of time in which one must not comply. There's no case law that I know of that discusses a finite timeline before you can have obstruction and not. And in this particular case, although it could have been very short, and it was a very short interaction, that does not mean that there wasn't evidence to support this conviction. And again, if we look to, again, you know, Molinay and Thorne and Fripp, I would say specifically, we go to Thorne. We're looking at an officer who's engaged in an investigation. He's looking to determine, you know, what is the window tint? Is it legal or is it not? He's giving repeated commands here. Officer Ring is investigating a suspected criminal. He's out there trying to find him, and he believes that Clarence Epps is who he's looking for. And when we look at the Molinay case, it gives kind of it's a two-prong analysis that you consider. The first is whether the appellant's actions did in fact prevent law enforcement officer from performing his duties. I think that's pretty clear in this case. He stops the car. He has, you know, reasonable suspicion to stop Mr. Epps, to identify him as a suspected criminal, and he takes off in headlong flight, which essentially running between homes. It prevents Officer Ring from being able to identify him and perform his investigation. The second part of the analysis in Molinay is, did the appellant act with the intent to obstruct? Well, here we have to combine his actions, as testified to by Officer Ring, in addition to some of his testimony. Although it's found not credible, it can be used because it's before the court as evidence to consider. And on page 92 of the joint appendix, the appellant testified he was out on bond and, quote, I tried to not even be around no police. So when he's stopped by Officer Ring and he identifies him as an officer, he takes off. His intent is to not be around him.
But don't we have case law that says that flight is not enough for obstruction of justice, even if it prevents the officer from, you know, essentially catching the guy and questioning him or arresting him?
Yes, and the Commonwealth will concede that absolutely flight alone is not enough, and that's the, you know, Atkins, Lacey, and that line of case law, which simply says if I'm investigating and you run and the officer simply tackles him, that's not sufficient. But here again, we're going back to this, the case of Molinay, where we have more. We have this not only flight, but we have flight plus, and the plus here is he turns aggressive stance, squares his shoulders. You know, fight-like stance, and the officer's testifying, it caused me some concern, which is why I deployed my taser. And
counsel, that's... in fact, as you were pointing out in the transcript on page, I guess it's 118, when the judge is making his ruling, he says, the judge says, that's not enough, the flight's not enough. However, Officer Ring testified that the defendant turned to him in an aggressive stance, which prompted him to draw his taser. That was enough. I believe Officer Ring. I do not believe the defendant's testimony in any way. That was the ruling of the court. So the court certainly acknowledged that flight is not sufficient in this particular case, and I think the court was correct in that. So the whole ball of wax is the officer's testimony that he, however you, what we call it in my neck of the woods is you bow up. I don't know what it's called here, obviously, but it was a fighting stance. It's what the officer testified to, and that's what the judge believed.
Yes, Your Honor, precisely. And that's what the trial court's ruling was based on, was the flight plus the testimony of Officer Ring, which was this aggressive bowing up stance. And for that reason, again, we have both the intent as well as the flight. And for that reason, the Commonwealth would ask the court to affirm. Unless there are any other questions, I'll return my time to the court.
Thank you, Mr. Forster.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Appreciate your argument. Counsel, you have your rebuttal time now.
Thank you.
And I'd just like to follow up on Judge Chaffin's question. Given what the trial judge says, however, Officer Ring testified that the defendant turned to him in an aggressive stance, which prompted him to draw his taser. That was enough. I believe Officer Ring. I do not believe the defendant's testimony in any way. Given the standard of review and the fact that the video is really hard to see what's going on there because of his clothing, he's off at a distance, the camcorder is doing like
yes,
this. Even when you slow it down, it's hard to see. Given the standard of review, the fact finder who decides credibility has said all of this. What do we do with that?
Your Honor, I don't think this is coming down to a credibility issue. I think it comes down to whether the facts, even if you believe them as testified to by Officer Ring, amount to obstruction of justice. And our contention is, even if you believe it exactly as Officer Ring testified to, it does not constitute obstruction of justice. I agree that the video is not as clear as I would like it to be. But I do think as far as some of the timing is concerned, I mean, certainly while you may not be able to see what's happening completely as far as Mr. Epps is concerned, you can see timing of pulling of the taser as well as the verbal commands. And you can hear that he's saying stop, stop as he's pulling the taser up. You can see that those occur simultaneously. So while, as Officer Ring describes it, it's broken down, it's slowed, and it sounds like it's a protracted interaction, it's really not. It's a matter of seconds, if even that, Your Honor, that it takes to occur. And, I think that's when we come to this, as Counsel for the Commonwealth has called it, the flight plus. The flight plus, if you call it that, here in Epps is not what the flight plus in Molinet was. Molinet was a repeated approaching of the officer after he'd been told to stay back. It's a threat, verbal threat.
There really wasn't
encouraging.
Any flight in Molinet.
Right. In Molinet was the ignoring of the officer's commands and the orders to step back, and instead of stepping back, doing the exact opposite and approaching towards the officer. Certainly, while it's a little unclear from the video how far Epps turns or what his hands are doing, it's a brief, if at best, brief turn and then laying down. Certainly, he does not head in the direction of Officer Ring, merely turning after he's been ordered to stop. And then, again, a matter of seconds laying down. I think that's the biggest distinction between Molinet. Aside from the fact that Molinet was issuing the verbal threats and saying, well, I'm going to do what I want to do, I don't care what you're saying.
Of course, in Molinet, we didn't say that was, all of that was required to have obstruction of justice. We just decided that given everything that was there, that constituted obstruction mm-hmm. of justice. We didn't say that was the minimum.
I understand. But I don't see that, based on the case law, the minimum here has been met. And additionally, Your Honor, you talk about what was Officer Ring's duty, his charge at the time. His charge was to take Mr. Epps into custody. He accomplished that. It may have taken an extra minute or so because Mr. Epps ducked behind a building and Officer Ring had to go around the block. But other than that, Your Honor, there was a very minimal delay at best in Officer Ring being able to accomplish his duty. So he was not prevented from carrying out his charge. It was simply made it a little bit more difficult and a little bit more protracted to carry out his charge of identifying a suspect and taking someone into custody. So, Your Honor, all things considered, we ask that you reverse and dismiss the charge against Mr. Epps.
Thank you, Ms. Whitmore. We will greet counsel, and then this court will stand in recess. All right.